The best insight, instant feedback, accountability. The all-new Talk Radio Freedom 106.5.
Let's say good morning to Miss June Holdip. Welcome to Freedom 106.5 FM. And we're inside the Health Hub. How are you?
Hi, good morning, everyone. Good morning to all your listeners. I'm fine this morning.
So let's learn a little bit about Miss Holdip. How do you see nutrition, and how important is it that we continue to talk about nutrition, especially in the age of changing economic times?
Well, nutrition is still very important. It's part of our lifeblood. We cannot survive without healthy food. Mm-hmm. And therefore, if we want to progress, we need to ensure that we have healthy food, and we need to ensure that we have healthy food habits, more importantly, mm-hmm. because we are bombarded with a lot of food items. Our food environment is not very supportive of health most times, but we have to be very cognizant of what is available out there to us, and what we can do to make the best use of the better options. Because the food industry is one thing. Our health is our wealth. So we have to be very aware and make the right choices. Mm-hmm. It's not always very easy. It can be very challenging. But we are of the view, when I say we, I'm talking here in a general sense about nutritionists and dietitians, that with knowledge, that should help you a long way.
Now, the thing is, we've seen an upsurge in fad diets and quick ways of changing the way we eat with, in tandem with medication. I'm more thinking of Ozempic and things like that. Is it safe to say that we find ourselves wanting quick fixes more than the tediousness,
right? Long term,
eating. Can we go a little bit into that?
Okay, well, in a general sense, you've described it just as it is. It is fad, and fad tells us it is a short-lived something. So we adopt these habits, we get quick results, but can we maintain it? Mm-hmm. And because, generally speaking, fad diets do not address your general habits. Because what we look at is, how do you as an individual, or how does a group of persons, what are their usual food habits and practices like? What is good about it? What is not so good? What is good about it? We encourage you to continue with it. Those that are not so good, we would find strategies to help you to reduce those that are not very helpful towards your health. And in this context, you find that we are constantly trying to keep our populations aware. And for this reason, you find that throughout the year, there are a number of observations, if I could describe it like that, where we try to remind individuals and to reinforce what are better practices to adopt.
Now, what would you recommend be the best way of approaching having a nutritious meal, especially in the Caribbean? Because, you know, we like certain foods and we are, yeah. I could say we are influenced by the foreign brands. What would you recommend would be the best way to you know, navigate through that?
Our foundation in the Caribbean is to encourage persons to make use of what we describe as our Caribbean six food groups. Yeah. And these include, one food group is the staples, which includes all our starchy foods, our provision, our pastas, the rice, the whole grains, etc. Another food group is the legumes and nuts. Legumes referring to dried peas and beans. And another group is our fruits. Another group is vegetables. Then you have your food from animals and your fats and oils. Now, we have been, we are bombarded, I would say, with, as you rightly said, the external environment. And by external, I mean outside of the region. But we also need to try to encourage persons to make use of what is available to us locally. We know also that, especially when it comes to fruits and vegetables, there are seasons. So here again, when certain foods are in season, make use them as frequently as you could within the context of your individual dietary needs. So the Caribbean Six food groups, that is the foundation. And take it from there.
You know, they say a lot that the way that we cook in the Caribbean tends to introduce us, should I say the word, introduce us to the non-communicable diseases like high blood pressure, right, and hypertension and those kind
and
of
diabetes,
things. Diabetes.
And even overweight and obesity, mm-hmm, and so on. And this is why you find that certain organizations internationally, regionally, and locally, we have these times of the year when we try to, as I said, try to bring certain bits of information to the forefront. Mm-hmm. So, for example, the month of May internationally is, we put emphasis on salt awareness. So, for example, this week in particular is considered, is designated, I should say, as a salt awareness week. And as you rightly said, salt or sodium in particular, because when we say salt, persons tend to just zero in on table salt. Mm-hmm. But it is not just table salt. It is really sodium that is the focus, the mineral that is in focus here, because that is the mineral that is linked to hypertension and heart disease and stroke and kidney failure and so on. So that is one observation.
Is it that we are really heavy-handed with salt in the Caribbean? Well, I mean, home Trinidad and Tobago, we really that heavy-handed with salt?
We are heavy-handed. We are heavy-handed because, you see, what has happened, I believe, what has happened to us over the years, we have been introduced to salt and salty foods from a very early age, even from our ancestors, because they relied on salt in food as a means of preserving food. Mm-hmm. But having passed that stage, we are the stage now where I observe that even parents introduce our young children to these high salt foods, so that you find that we develop this affinity, this craving. Mm-hmm. If the food isn't, we rely on salt for taste, put it that way. Mm-hmm. Whereas we have so many other herbs and spices and seasonings that we could choose from which we can choose, mm-hmm, to help improve the flavor of foods. But that in itself takes time, because remember, if you are oriented to salt, and the first thing when you taste something, people say, oh, it needs a little more salt. Mm-hmm. It needs a little more salt. So that is saying to us that you are so dependent on salt to help get the flavor out, and you're not really getting the flavor of the food. Mm-hmm. So yes, we do use a lot of salt. And in addition to the salt, remember that when it comes to salt, when we talk about salt, we're talking here about the sodium component. And sodium is also present as sodium compounds in so many other food items. So it's not just the salt alone, but it's also the other foods that we accustomed using that we figure that we must buy, that we must have. Sometimes I look at persons' baskets in the grocery, and you see them picking up these, what they call, family packs of quote-unquote snacks. Mm-hmm. And who are those snacks given to generally?
To
our
the
children.
Kids. Yeah.
So you find now that at a very early age, they are training the taste buds for these high salt items. So we need to continue to work with parents and work with children to help to reverse that, because one of the things we are finding today when it comes to these non-communicable diseases, it is no longer limited to adults.
Yeah.
Our younger age persons are developing these conditions, and that is scary.
I just wanted to go back to one of the points that you mentioned. Now, sodium is the element that we're looking for, but our minds are so trained that the crystals, the salt, as it appears, like sea salt and table salt and so on that we put in the food, that's what we focus on as being salt. Can you like mention other foods that may have a high salt content that we may not be fully aware that the content is that high that we use on a day-to-day basis to get the taste that you're talking about?
Oh, yes. Mm. One group of foods that has a high sodium content is our what we call highly processed foods. So when we look at the sausages, we use a lot of sausages, we use a lot of cheese, the canned meats and fish. Yes, the water packed canned fish items tend to be a little lower in sodium than those that are canned in oil. But to repeat, we're talking about the sausages or the deli meats. We talk about the salt fish. We love it. The salted meats, the canned food items. Now we've seen on the grocery shelves, we even get in some frozen items, the frozen pizzas. We go buy pizza. I'm not saying that these things cannot be have occasionally, but we try to discourage persons from using them routinely. And also our fast foods are out there.
Oh, the kind of reducing convenient foods. Because when you're rushing home in the afternoon, or you know, you're not in the mood to cook, is a fast food place that you're going to?
Yeah, but the thing about it is, are you going to do this routinely?
Mm-hmm.
As opposed to trying to have more home-prepared meals? As I said, occasionally, I would give in to it, but not routinely.
Mm-hmm.
It's the routine use of it that becomes disastrous.
Is there a food or foods that we can take in on a day-to-day basis to counteract the effect of salt?
Yes. Foods that are our fruits and vegetables, the reason being that the fruits and vegetables provide you with another mineral called potassium, which helps to balance the sodium in the body and also to release that excess sodium. So sodium and potassium work hand in hand, and fruits and vegetables, generally speaking, will contribute some of that potassium that your body needs.
And what about water?
Water helps with eliminating some of the excess sodium. And as long as the kidneys are functioning properly, your water intake will come in very useful there in cases like that.
Now, the thing is, there is a thought that some water include salt, because preservation is part of the whole having your foods come to you. is it that we need to check the label, and if there is, as you say, sodium on it, stay away from that water?
Yes, correct is right. Mm. I noticed there was one particular brand that you could, for me, when I tasted it, you can actually taste the sodium in it. But as though I recall recently, like they have done some reformulation, mm-hmm. and they're using that on their label now to say, if I'm not mistaken, I think they're now saying no added sodium or something to that effect. Mm-hmm. So you are correct. Generally speaking, we're talking about bottled water. Mm-hmm. That's one particular brand that I noted had mm-hmm. added sodium in it. And as I said, I think I saw recently where they have reformulated, and that's good.
Now, the next group that, seeing it's Caribbean and Trinidad, we're talking about fruits. I mean, like I said before, it's in season because we go through seasons. What are the best fruits for us to consume instead of turning to fast foods?
Any fruit is good. Any fruit is good. The important thing is that try not to overdo it with any one particular fruit. And why I'm saying this now, it is mango season coming in.
Oh my God.
Yes. Mangoes are not bad, but sure enough, to have a bucket full of mangoes instead of a meal is not healthy. So any fruit is good, used in moderation.
Mm-hmm.
So if you have too many mangoes, find other persons to share it with.
I don't know, but you know, growing up, which I find so very interesting, many of us can remember going to the river, going to just outdoor in nature and finding fruit trees and eating a lot of these fruits. You know, how is it that a habit like that from back in the day is now, you know, you're telling us not to eat as many, especially around this time too, because I think most of the fruit trees would be either starting to bear or bearing already. And, well, you know, it's just diving.
Okay, fruit, as I said, fruits are seasonal.
Mm-hmm.
And I mentioned mangoes because I know that that's a pet peeve when it comes to overdoing it. Somehow we don't tend to overdo it with other fruits. Well, why mangoes only?
Mm.
But
I guess it's the access. You can find them.
Probably the availability too. Eh?
Mm-hmm.
It tends to be very more, to me, I think mangoes tend to be more abundant than other fruits. But the other fruits that we have all year round, I've observed, mm-hmm. we tend to be getting pineapples all year round, watermelon, pawpaw. Recently, I noticed that somebody told me, well, Balatas tend to bear every X number of years. We had quite a bit of Balatas on the market. Pretty soon, we're going to be seeing Five Finger and Pomerac. Actually, I think I started seeing some Pomeracs on the highway.
Mm-hmm,
mm-hmm. So, what month we in? May? Well, after mangoes, you're going to be getting plums and chenette. And then pretty soon after that, we're going to start getting the pomsitae and so on. So you notice the availability is always there.
Mm-hmm. What oranges, season? Don't forget oranges.
Well, citrus season has more or less gone out, but you can still get some citrus.
Mm-hmm.
And in between, I may see some sapodillas around.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Have some issues with could be the price. And that, of course, has to do with the whole supply and demand situation.
But I think seeing as we got some good information as to how to balance that meal so your sodium intake is not as high as it can get. It's just keeping track. If you know that you're taking in food that has a high sodium count, just lay off the others for the rest of the day. All right? Thanks so much to Miss Holdip.
best insight, instant feedback, accountability. The all-new Talk Radio Freedom 106.5.